Good morning. Welcome to worship on this third Sunday of Advent. As we continue our celebration leading up to Christmas, awaiting Christ's coming again. And so I invite all who are able to stand as you're able and face the cross as we begin with our brief order of confession and forgiveness. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On that word of grace and promise, I invite you to take a few moments for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, God gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up the wills of all who look to you, Lord God, and strengthen our faith in your coming, that transformed by your grace, we may walk in your way. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated and let us sing "Light One Candle to Watch for Messiah." Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for this victory wreath that marks our days of preparation for Christ's advent. As we light the candles on this wreath, strengthen our hearts as we await the Lord's coming in glory. Enlighten us with your grace, that we may serve our neighbors in need. Grant this through Christ our Lord, whose coming is certain and whose day draws near. Amen. I invite you to prepare your hearts and your ears to hear the word of God.
The first lesson is from Isaiah, the 35th chapter. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunts of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is from the book of James, the fifth chapter. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I'd like to focus on one verse from that gospel message. Jesus answered them, "Tell John what you hear and see." This is the story of John in prison asking the question, "Are you the Messiah, or are we waiting for someone else?" John sends his disciples, and Jesus doesn't directly answer the question. He could have, but instead he tells those disciples, "Tell John what you hear and see." You, these unnamed disciples of John, who we never see again and haven't seen before, we've no idea whether they met Jesus before. Probably not. We don't know if they came back and followed Jesus for some time, but here it says directly after that, he answers the question, they leave. These people, they're told, "Tell John what you have seen, what you have heard. Don't report back just what I say, but your experience. Provide that witness to John." As I reflected upon the question of what you hear and what you see, I thought back to a couple seasons in my life where I worked in retail. After I graduated with my master's degree, I didn't go on to further graduate school work right away, but I tried to find just a job. And with good timing being the hallmark of all good business decisions, I happened to graduate with my MA in the spring of 2009. So it turns out, during the Great Recession, and equipped with a master's degree in comparative religion, I ended up moving in with my parents. And I did a variety of odd jobs in North Idaho, some spot carpentry work, some tutoring, and then I took a part-time job at an unnamed retail establishment. And when I got hired to begin, all new hires were led to watch training videos. And it was three full work days of training videos. And they had some training in them, but the lion's share of the content was about SOP, standard operating procedures. And they were deep, and there was defined actions on how one was to do almost everything. How you properly swept the floor, how you bagged items, how you properly lifted things, and other things that I normally didn't associate with things that had to be taught. I think it was set up for efficiency, but I suspect in some way also liability. It was a lot of training videos and a lot of learning about SOP, standard operating procedure. And when I got hired, I was in my late 20s at the time, I was alongside a number of new hires who were high school students, and this was their first job. They were overwhelmed with these videos and all this information. And they got so worried about liability, they struggled to know what they were supposed to do in any situation if it had not been specifically addressed. Well, we all got hired and started working, and while working, we all had walkie-talkies that were clipped to our shirts where you could ask for help. But you know, the thing about those walkie-talkies is if you talked into them, it went out to every employee who also had one in the store. And I was working one day, and I heard one of the high school kids who'd been hired with me. He was out in the parking lot getting carts, and he said on the walkie, someone left their car door open in the parking lot. What should I do about that? Someone responded, close the door. We all had a pretty good laugh, and then to pile on, like five more people jumped on. Shut the door, close it, you know. So it was pretty funny, and the kid had pretty good humor about it. But I also felt for him. He was still new to the job, and the rhetoric we heard during the training discouraged us from using our own common sense or trusting our experience in the moment. And I thought of that story as I reflected on this verse. Tell John what you hear and what you see. Jesus could have just answered John's question. Yes, he's the Messiah. There's not another one coming. But he doesn't do that. He empowers those people. You tell John what you see, what you hear, with your own eyes and your own ears. And there's a number of things one can see in that, but I want to focus on just one. Jesus saying to those disciples of John, when they ask, "Are you the Messiah?" by answering, "Trust your experience. You are able to tell John what you've seen and what you hear. You who stand before me right now, what do you see? Do you see God working in your life?" Because after all, Jesus could have simply told them that he's the Messiah, but that wasn't really going to be satisfactory. After all, this is John's question. And the question is really about doubt. This is John the Baptist, who saw Jesus baptized with a very clear message from heaven that says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." If that's not convincing to you, John, no teaching of Jesus No little aphorism is going to get you there. But what will? Jesus empowers those disciples. What have you seen? What have you heard? Where is God working in your life? It's as if he's saying to John's disciples, tell your story. Illustrate who God is for you. Where has grace appeared for you? Where have you sensed God is present? Trust your experience. You're able to see it. You're able to know it. And I don't think he was just talking to them, but us too. And I think, though, that message might be a little hard for us. Because we might be a little bit like that kid in the parking lot. We're not trained to trust our experience. We know we're sinful beings. We say things like, we lean upon the Lord our God and trust not in our own understandings. Because it turns out, we're also kind of like John in prison here. Even after seeing Jesus baptized, we too doubt. We know that one day I'm really confident and say I believe, and the next day I'm not sure if I can do that or not. And when it comes to God in my life and where God is working, how can I be sure of myself enough to be able to name, well, here's a place where God's alive for me? We ask also with John, Jesus, are you really the Messiah? And, of course, probably John has this doubt because of his expectations. John was expecting Messiah to come be this judge. He wanted Messiah to divide who is in and who is out. He uses phrase like coming with a winnowing fork and burning the chaff. So when Jesus in his ministry is healing, teaching, empowering disciples, John might have been a little confused. He might have been sure of that experience he had when Jesus was baptized, but what about now? His experience in the present doesn't seem to fit with what he thought this was going to look like. And so he doubts. When we ask, did something that just happened in my life, was that God working? Well, maybe, maybe not. Does it fit with how I expected God to act in my life or to act in the world generally? I think a lot of times we don't know how to answer that question. We're led to finally say, well, I guess I just don't know. Maybe it was God, maybe circumstance. Hard to say. And in that, Jesus says, tell John what you have seen and you have heard. With all your doubt, with all your questioning, share your experience. Trust it. But how? We just said we don't know what's happening. And Jesus puts it right back on us. You know more than you think you do. And notice something here. Jesus didn't say, tell John and be completely convinced with 100% accuracy of what you see and hear. Maybe there's room for your doubt. There's room for you to say, I think this was God in my life. I can't be sure, but I do think it was. And that can be an act of faith. It is Jesus's understanding of what doubt is. Another pastor in our text study this week said, we tend to think of doubt as a lack of something, someone lacking faith. But you know, in the Bible, doubt might be better depicted as a hunger. It's hunger for more. We're hungering and yearning to know more, to believe more, to increase our faith. And that is not a bad thing. And Jesus, in our text, isn't done with us. Tell John what you hear and see. And then Jesus continues. He helps them know how to look and how to hear. He says to them, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. Those disciples still need to see it. Jesus can't see it for them, can't hear it for them, but he can empower them of where to look, how to understand. Yes, they are doubtful people, but they're also empowered to see in their experience how God is active. How much more so for us? If I ask someone, where is God working in your life? You might be able to answer, you might not, on any given day. But if I ask, where in your experience has grace been extended to you? Almost everyone can answer. Might be big things, might be small things, but the experience of God in the world are there for us. Just knowing how we can look, to trust our experience. Will these disciples of John understand everything about Jesus? Hardly. We don't know if they had any more relationship with Jesus at all. What's more, and even more importantly, even if they did, they're human, they're sinful, they're limited. They might not know how to trust the experience they had. Because after all, they don't really know, but report what you hear and see. You can report what you see and hear, what you experience, without fully knowing it, without fully understanding it. We are limited humans. We can't understand who Jesus fully is. But the grace we receive is that we don't have to. Jesus has a plan for us. Jesus gives us the gift of grace in our lives, and we don't have to be able to fully grasp what that is. We can doubt. While we have that doubt, we can also say, here is where God's working in my life. We can tell our story. Jesus is empowering us, each one of us. What have you seen? What have you heard? You know who I am far more than you think you do. I'm with you. Let's share that good news. Amen.
The whole church, let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. As we prepare for the fullness of Christ's presence, let us pray for a world that yearns for new hope. Gracious God, we rejoice in the gifts of your Spirit. Equip the church to magnify your love and peace in every land and among all peoples. We pray for the ongoing work of the Lutheran World Federation, Lutheran World Relief, ELCA World Hunger, and Lutheran Disaster Response, as well as for our own congregation and all with whom we are partners in ministry. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Abundant God, we rejoice in your creation. Revive lands that have been squandered and depleted. Make deserts blossom and provide springs of water in dry places. Use us to steward all that you have entrusted to our care, so that all living things may flourish. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Righteous God, we rejoice in your justice. Raise up leaders who will work for peace and justice and help put an end to injustice and oppression. Deliver all who are unjustly imprisoned or persecuted. Reconcile nations and peoples, especially those impacted by war and violence. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Healing God, we rejoice in your compassion. Comfort any in distress because of worry, illness, or loss. Be with those known to us who are in need of your healing touch. We pray especially for Betsy Berg, Dan's brother Michael Buckwalter, Judy Collins and her granddaughter Piper, Lori Lund, James Pontius, Marnie Reinmuth, and Gretchen Seamus. For all these we've named aloud, for those we hold in our hearts, and for those known only to you, we pray. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Abiding God, we rejoice in your presence with us. Give us patient hearts and joyful expectation as we trust in your promises. Keep us ever mindful of those for whom this season is difficult. Console those who grieve. Today we remember especially the family of Virginia Jacobson as they entrust her to your eternal care. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of our longing, you know our deepest needs. By your Spirit, gather our prayers and join them with the prayers of all your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace with one another. Let us pray. Eternal God, you make the desert bloom and send springs of water to thirsty ground. Receive these simple gifts of bread and wine, and make us messengers of your mercy and love for all in need of your healing and justice. We ask this through Christ our Savior. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will make all things new in the day when he comes again to judge the world in righteousness. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. In the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God given freely to us, the people of God. I invite you to be seated, and at the direction, as the Spirit moves you, to come forward down the center aisle. Come forward and receive the bread and the wine at the table. For those for whom the stairs may be difficult to navigate, just come forward and sit in the front pew, and the servers will come to you. Come, for all is now ready. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Faithful God, in this meal you have remembered your mercy, bringing heaven to earth in the body and blood of Christ. As we wait for the day when all your promises will be fulfilled, sustain us and strengthen us by this holy mystery. Guide us toward your promised future, coming to birth in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. A few announcements for the good of the community. First of all, today, following this service, Godly Play for our children will take place with Stephanie Newbert leading them, and the adults will be meeting in the library with Pastor Ben for their class, for your class. This Tuesday is our last midweek Hold an Evening Prayer service. We will begin, as we always do with Together Tuesdays, the soup will be on and ready to be served at 5:15, and then there'll be activities, a class for adults and music for children, and then we will gather in the sanctuary here at 7 p.m. for Hold an Evening Prayer. I say it's the last midweek Hold an Evening Prayer service, but it's not the last midweek service. On December 20th, we have listed on your schedule for Advent and Christmas a Blue Christmas. And while we didn't define that for you, let me just share that that service is really intended especially for those for whom the holiday is difficult. And so for those who are grieving, for those who have experienced loss recently or trauma, that's a service, a very quiet service. Deacon Claire has put that together for us these past few years, and we'll have that observance. It's also the closest day that we can do it to the winter solstice, which is the longest night of the year. And so we gather in a quieting way. That week, on December 20th, which is a Tuesday evening, we will only gather for worship at 7 p.m. There will be no Together Tuesday activities before that. And then you'll see the Christmas Eve service listed in the bulletin, 4:30, 9:30 p.m., and then Christmas Day and the eighth day of Christmas, which happens to be January 1st. Those two services on Christmas Day, Sunday the 25th, and on New Year's Day, Sunday the 1st of January, those two services will be at 10 a.m. There will be only one service. So please make note of that, and website Connect to Central reflects that schedule, but wanted you to be aware of it. Finally, we're trying to get back into the tradition of sending out our Eucharistic ministers, and so at this time I'd like to call forward those who have said that they would be assisting ministers and or Eucharistic ministers bringing communion to our homebound members. And so if you're part of that, please come forward now. And we want to return to having a blessing. Their communion kits have been here on the altar and have been duly consecrated and blessed. And we are now sending them out to serve on our behalf. Pastor Ben, I'll have you help me here. You take these. These men and women have volunteered and agreed to be our Eucharistic ministers, along with some others that are either not able to be here this morning or they'll be at the 11 o'clock service. If you're interested in doing this important ministry, you can talk to Pastor Ben or myself. We send the communion out in home kits, and we train you to go out to deliver this communion into people's homes. And then once a month, you place your kit on the altar, and it's consecrated so we can send you out again. And so let us go with this blessing for our Eucharistic ministers. Please pray with me. Gracious God, whose mercy endures from generation to generation, As we have been fed and nourished at your table, so now bless those who go forth to share your word and sacrament with our sisters and brothers who are homebound. In your love and care, nourish and strengthen those to whom we bring this communion, that through the body and blood of your Son, they too may know the hope of your promise coming to us in Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. And now receive the benediction. I invite you to stand. God, the eternal Word, who dwells with us in Jesus and who holds us in the grace of the Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is near.